Welcome Address.
Well, brethren, let me say good morning again. Good morning. And welcome to the 50th General Convention. Personally, I feel that our Father in Heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ has placed upon me a great honor this morning in opening this convention. And I feel it in a very humble way. And so, in the spirit of love and one who wishes to serve you, I welcome you in the spirit of truth and brotherhood. In the only name under heaven by which we can be saved, I greet you and extend to you a very warm and a very loving welcome. I pray that in these next 6 days, we all receive a blessing that will strengthen us and make us better Christians, strong in the truth as we believe it, so that when we leave this holy place, we can put our spiritual knowledge into practice, daily practice, in our Christian lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Psalm 13, verse 3. Now, brethren, since last we were here, 12 months ago, our lives have continued the journey in the narrow way of sacrifice. And it is true that since last year, we've passed another milestone on the way to our inheritance. We pray, brethren, that when we come to the end of this convention, we will all be able to look back at this place and realize that we have indeed been safe and secure here in this city of refuge, so to speak. God has provided us this spiritual rest period, this quiet place, away from the troubled world around us, and so we want to be able to pray that we prosper in spiritual things while we are here. Pray that we grow more like our Lord and rejoice in the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the knowledge that we gain here, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and of the divine plan. And remember, too, that it's not just for us only, but for all of the sin-sick world around us. And remember, too, brethren, that while we are here, we're in the school of the Most High God on the college level. Look back, brethren, if you will, in your minds, at the last 12 months, and note how our Heavenly Father has led us all the way. None of us can forget the goodness and the faithfulness of God in our lives, whatever has been the happenings since we were here last year. And let us always remember his past mercies. For, brethren, they have strengthened our faith for what still lies ahead. And while we do this, we would be able to sing our opening hymn many times in our hearts. One step I see before me, 'tis all I need to see. The light of heaven more brightly shines when earth's illusions flee, and sweetly through the silence comes his loving, follow me. Dear brethren, the realization of all of the Lord's benefits towards us in these past 12 months, in fact, since our consecration, makes it possible for each one of us to echo even further the sentiments of hymn 110. So on I go, not knowing, I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than go alone by sight. Friends, dear friends, as we begin our convention this morning, we all know that our individual lives are but a journey, and so we should all know where we're going. You know, the world around us believes that the journey is just a journey from the cradle to the grave, and there it ends. And so they lived by the words, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Have you ever stopped to think, brethren, as you listen to my words, that that could have been the whole story for us about life if it were not for that wondrous truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. That the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. And that thus the grave is to each one of us merely the end of one chapter in our lives and our stories of life, just a milestone for us toward immortality and life forever with our Father in heaven and with our blessed Lord and with all of the saints. For all time, just think of that, brethren, for all time. And do not forget that it's also going to be a milestone for mankind towards human perfection and everlasting life in a perfectly restored kingdom soon to come. Brethren, ask yourselves this question, if you will. Ask it to yourself over and over again while we're here at convention. Where are we bound? Where am I bound? Well, certainly we should all know and never have to wonder at the answer to such a question. We all know where we're going. We have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We have surrendered our hearts and our wills and our very lives to the service of God. And we are walking toward that time for each one of us when we shall lay hold of and possess the treasures that we have been laying up for ourselves all of our consecrated lives here this side the veil. Just think how vastly different from the world is our viewpoint, brethren. We look not at things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. And remember that these unseen things are the real things. For the things which are seen are merely temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You know, too, brethren, the days of each one of our births is fast disappearing behind us. For we're rapidly approaching the birthday for each one of us that God has purposed. Our birthday as new creatures in Christ. If we remain faithful, we will indeed attain the position for which God hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. It's a fact, brethren, that those in the world always speak of the evening of life. They speak of death's darkness. But we speak of leaving this dark night of sin and death. And we look forward to the approaching new day. After all, this is the divine order, is it not? Evening and then morning, as it says in Genesis 1. We certainly would submit, and I'm sure you would, that our flesh gets weaker as we pass each milestone of life. Some of us have had experiences these past 12 months. There are some brethren who sat next to you last year that are not present here this year, for they have assumably made their calling and election sure and are with the Lord in glory. Some others are too ill to be here with us today, and many more of us have had our own brushes with death, the specter of death, with sickness, operations, cancer, hip and knee replacements, and the like. But despite it all, here we are. We're all here. And the only thing that matters, dear brethren, is that none of us, not one single one of us, has as yet made our calling and election sure. That's why we're all here. That's why we're still growing. That's why we're increasing our knowledge and our faith and our confidence in God and in Jesus, and in that beautiful plan for life for everyone. Naturally, our eye grows dim with each passing milestone of life, but our spiritual vision grows nearer as we near our goal. For still new beauties do we see, and still increasing light. Here in 1989, the world continues its sounds of merriment and revelry, not seeing the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, that spells the end of this present evil world. I remember at our watch night at the beginning of this year down in Florida as we left our meeting that the world was still greeting each other with fireworks and noise and Happy New Year, Happy New Year. But was it, is it a Happy New Year? It all goes on as usual. 1989 has the same drugs, the same wars, the same murders, the same cruelties, and the same brother against brother. The world wants to forget. It does not want to face the problems of drugs and hunger and war and crime. It's afraid of what is coming upon it, of what the future may hold for it. And so mankind eats, drinks, and feigns merriment. The question, brethren, is, how is it with us? What are our emotions right now? Let me suggest that they're deep joy in our hearts. We're here together one more time, another milestone passed, and now we're even closer to that kingdom for which we pray. Now is our fountain, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Romans 13:11. The Apostle Paul introduces that statement with this phrase, it is high time to awake out of sleep. And we must remember, not only was he talking to our early brethren, but he was talking to us. We have new life in us. We have turned from sin to righteousness. We have turned from sin and superstition to faith and to knowledge, from a feeling of being a stranger to the knowledge that we have all been adopted in the family of God. And so, brethren, beware that there might come upon us a feeling of carelessness, growing drowsy, creeping over some of us, that the world's spirit might be sneaking in and threatening to take us into custody, so to speak, as prisoners of war. For we are in a battle against a very powerful enemy. Maybe the truth, as we know it, has been losing its freshness, its beauty, its flavor for our spiritual appetites. Maybe something new is being looked for. A new messenger, maybe? Some new thing, some new developed truth that God has just revealed to us personally? If so, brethren, it might be that it has been provided by the adversary along the lines of self-gratification. The truth is a very strenuous thing to follow. We must give it time, much, much time in our lives. When we get spiritually tired and we stop and we sit down in a narrow way, that is the time that some of us seem to forget that our sins are forgiven and that we're God's children. And then we might forget the lessons that we've all learned together in the school of Christ. Why, we might even cry out, where is the blessedness that I once knew when I first knew the Lord? It is this kind of cry that the Apostle Paul addresses, and so does this convention, brethren. For now is our salvation nearer than we first believed. Our salvation comes nearer with each milestone passed, and we do not know, any of us, how many days we have left before we're called home. And neither does the world know how close it is when they too will have a better chance under perfect conditions to learn righteousness. Brethren, as we sit here together in convention, if we can read the signs right, if we have read the signs correctly these past 12 months, our heads should be lifted high and our hearts should be glad, for we can see that we have noticed the signs of our deliverance draweth nigh. After all, that's why we're here, isn't it? Maybe for one last time, isn't that the test of our profession? Are our hearts centered on the kingdom of heaven so that we can really be glad and happy that the passage of time and of milestones is bringing us nearer and nearer to it? Are our affections set on things above and not things on this earth? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Matthew 6:19-21. Brethren, we are here at convention for 6 days to ripen our fruit. The riper, the more mature our fruit, the less hold it's going to have upon the tree that bears it. Is it like that with us, brethren? Can we answer, if we can answer yes, then we are growing. We are developing our fruitage. And now we must show that growth to one another in this place. And that will prove that we're not using the things of earth to cling to, hang on to, but rather using them to climb up higher. If this convention proves not to be the best convention ever, it will be because we have not been growing as we should have been growing in the Lord's wisdom and grace. But you know, brethren, in my heart, I think since last year, we have been growing. And I think that the Lord's love and wisdom and the fruits of the Spirit have been accumulating in our hearts. And I know that this will be the best convention ever. As we all look back down the past months since we were here, let us remember that when Samuel raised his Ebenezer, it suggested a looking back over the past for new strength for the future path still to be traveled. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. 1 Samuel 7:12. Can we say that, brethren, as we look back? Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua 23:14. Is that our testimony, brethren? As we sit here, as we begin this convention in our fellowship, not one thing hath failed. But have there not been failures in our lives this past year? Could any of us say there have been no blots on 1988 and no blots on 1989 to this point? If we have had any failures, they're not God's failures. For God is faithful that promised. And we do say that if we have had failures, they should enable us to more fully appreciate the fact that not one thing hath failed of all that God hath spoken. And remember too, John tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. None of us, brethren, as we go up the narrow way, can lightly pass over any sins or shortcomings or secret faults. We should be circumspect, watchful, and never carry a sin one day longer. Confess it before our Father through our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And God will not fail to forgive us if our hearts are set right. As we start out our convention this morning, brethren, with all of its attending blessings, let us remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:19. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Now, we all had many needs in 1988, and I'm sure we have many needs now in 1989. We may even have more needs. Every single one of them will be met, brethren. You can bank on it. Sometimes we're not even aware of what our needs are. Maybe right now we're confusing need with want. But our Father knows what things we need each step along the way. His eye of love doth never sleep. He watches night and day. It is true that we're not always conscious of our needs, our true needs. All of us know we need a stronger faith. We know we need a stronger trust in God. We know we need a greater love for Him, for Jesus. We know we need more love for one another, more sympathetic love for the world around us. Mankind is in a very untenable condition. We also know that we need more patience and humility, more gentleness, more kindness. Yet how often we question the need of the experience that will develop these very things in our hearts and lives. We certainly know that they're needful, but we greet that wonderful experience with joy. But when the bad experience comes, we do not want to open the door to it. You know, brethren, in thinking about my welcoming address, I remember the 23rd Psalm describes a day in the life of a sheep. And we feel that that describes our lives every day, especially since last we met together here. Our Father in heaven has been our great shepherd along with our good shepherd. And we have not lacked one needful thing. We have all had experiences of green pastures and still waters. We have all been fed at the table laid for us in the wilderness of sin. And all of our souls have been revived in a season of strain and weariness. The steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. Psalm 37:23. He has led us in the paths of righteousness and led us, while his rod has defended us. His staff has guided us as he has been leading us. And the Lord said he would gird himself and serve us, and he surely has done that and is doing it right now. We're seated at his table here today, and the food that we're going to get has never been more needed. For we are in the midst of enemies of all kinds, visible and invisible, and they're all seeking to overthrow us and overthrow our faith and divert us from that only path to glory. Here we are today, seated and ready to partake of the spiritual food provided for us from his own hands. And we know that it will be pure, clean and pure. We have a double assurance of that. First, that it comes from Jesus. And second, it is proper food and suitable for us. And we will be satisfied with it, waiting on the Lord, knowing that we will not be turned away empty. But, brethren, it does require an appetite. So we must stay spiritually hungry, and the Lord will fill us through his servants, dispensing his food for him at this convention. The Word of God has been enough for us all of our consecrated lives, and more than satisfying these last months since we have been separated. Surely we have all experienced the anointing oil poured on our heads, and we've drunk from our overflowing cup, tired, weary, sometimes worn out and exhausted because of these present evil days with fightings within and without. Brethren, how refreshing it's going to be to draw aside for these next 6 days in this place and enjoy one another's love and fellowship as we rejoice in the Word of God. Brethren, in our fellowship, so that it will be to us one of the lasting blessings of this convention, let us open our hearts to one another. Tell your trials, your tests, your overcomings to each other. Yes, and even your failures. Share with your brethren how God has blessed you, comforted you, encouraged you, and sometimes chastened you. Do you realize how much we can help each other by sharing our experiences with someone who may be going through the same thing right now? Speak to the brother or sister you don't know as well as you know others. Encourage them to talk. Ask them questions about the truth. Always a good way to open up a conversation, which may prove a special blessing. I remember when I first came into the fellowship of the brethren, my dear Ruth and me, at my first convention, I hardly knew anyone. And a very dear brother, who's here today, came to our table, sat down with us, understood that we were new in the truth, and after exchanging introductions, he asked us what particular facet of truth drew us. And we began a delightful discussion, which we remember to this day. You know, brethren, might be a good idea if each of us would make a deliberate effort to seek special fellowship with at least three brethren with whom we have not had that opportunity in the past. Or perhaps we have not made a special effort to have it. We all have so many blessings, and how it would delight our Father in heaven to hear us share these blessings with one another at this convention. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So the question is, what shall be our plans here in Chattanooga? What shall they be for the rest of our walk in the narrow way? Or better yet, what are our plans right now at this moment? We only have one objective left to us if we're to follow in the Master's footsteps. And the Apostle Paul says it far better than I could say it. I count not myself to apprehend. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. Now, another way of saying that is, I count myself not to have attained, or not to have already possessed, or to have laid hold of, or grasped fully. Here we see the wisdom of shaking off our own plans and arrangements, and directing all of our energies toward perfection. We must have that mark of the high calling of God-likeness that we see in our Lord Jesus, and that is to the intent to be perfect and to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Brother Russell said that we must attain to this as soon as possible after consecration. We might die, you know, in the interim, and we so much want to be counted in to the first resurrection, to be found worthy of that. So after we reach that mark, we must stand fast and hold it. And we can do this by fighting the good fight of faith together, helping one another. And we plainly can see that Paul had achieved this in his life as an example for us to follow, even as he followed the Lord Jesus. In researching this, the Moffat translation called it a straining to what lies ahead. Shall that be our plan, brethren, here at convention and in the days ahead? Maybe right now, some of us might be saying in our hearts, I do not suppose that this convention of 1989 will be much different from 1988. Why should it be? I won't have any opportunities to serve the brethren. Well, if that's your thought, take comfort from these words. If on our daily course our mind be set to hallow all we find, new treasures still of countless price God will provide for the sacrifice. The trivial round, the common task will furnish all we need to ask, room to deny ourselves, a road to bring us daily nearer God. Many of us here today may not be called to great things, or even to be of prominent service for the brethren. Our faithfulness in small things must first be proved before God can count us worthy for higher things, higher service. Moses kept his father-in-law's flocks for a very long time before he became leader of Israel. Gideon threshed wheat before he was called to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And we all know that David was a shepherd boy before he was a king. And even after his anointing by Samuel, he returned to the ordinary duties of life with no apparent change in them. When overruling providences caused Saul to summon David to his court, it may have seemed to him that the destiny was about to be fulfilled. But what did David encounter there? He became the victim of Saul's jealousy, and then his hatred, and finally his attempt to murder him. Do you think that it seemed likely at that time that God was working in David's life? The answer could have been no to one of lesser faith than David. After this, he was exiled from his people. He was hunted down like an animal and lived from what he could forage from the land. And yet, through all of these bitter experiences, God was preparing him not only to be a king over all of Israel, but to be a type of that greater David who one day is to rule and reign over mankind. Whatever our experiences are, dear brethren, we only need to remember that God is preparing us too for a great honor, and he knows exactly what experiences are needed to fit us for that destiny. Remember, brethren, all of us, every single one of us is going to be a priest and a king in the kingdom. Just think about that. All these so-called humdrum experiences are keeping us in training for that high honor. As we remain here at convention, let the Apostle Paul's plan for his life be our plan also, that for the sake of Christ, we come to count what was precious as lost to us now, compared to the supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ, our Savior. For his sake, we have lost all as rubbish in order to gain him and to be with him in glory. We want to know the power of his resurrection, share his sufferings, his death, in the hope of attaining to that resurrection from the dead. Not one of us, any of us, have secured that as yet or have reached perfection. But we must press on to see that we do capture it. Paul was eager, very eager. Let us be as eager. We can attain it by all the little things in life, the everyday duties that are performed faithfully as unto the Lord, and then it becomes acceptable service. There is a responsibility upon each one of us to redeem the time. We do not have much time left. Let us use the time we do have in meditation, prayer, study, in order to show ourselves approved. Let us have more direct service for God observed in our lives. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts, my words and doings, all my days and all my hours. They're not just words, brethren. They're principles to be practiced in our daily life. Brethren, we started a little early. I want to just close my welcoming comments to you with a benediction. I want this convention to carry the message of the Lord bless thee and keep thee during the days of this convention. So I want to take time to recite the verses. They're familiar to you. They're in Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We've been separated from one another for a year. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, has given you and will give you such blessings as these words express while you're here at this convention. This convention is but another milepost and a foretaste of that greater convention still to come with Jesus, with the Father, and with all the saints. We are children of the King, and we're all royalty. And now, brethren, this is your convention. I turn it over to you. It's a Bible student convention. It belongs to each and every one of us. Let us enter into the Spirit of Christ and hear the word expounded from this platform from his servants chosen for such duty. The Lord bless thee. And how shall he bless thee? With a gladness that knows no decay, with the riches that cannot pass away, with the sunshine that makes an endless day, thus may he bless thee. And keep thee, how shall he keep thee? With all the all-covering shadow of his wings, with a strong love that guards from evil things, with sure power that safe to glory brings, thus may he keep thee, now and for the rest of thy days. And we add the Lord's blessing.